Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 264 of 4th and John. I'm Gail Sonners here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo in the building. Today, we're talking about the wide receivers, a little Eagles, stay or go, wide outs.
Obviously, song.
What's
should
that?
Should I stay or should I go now? Song.
Maybe we could do that. But obviously, there's a lot of other positions that the Eagles might want to tackle first. But we thought the wide receiver position was a position that sparked some conversation and some passionate vibes from, you know, this particular wide receivers. I'm not gonna say names right now, but just overall that spark controversy and, you know, arguments on the timeline. Obviously, it's the off season, so we're gonna start going through the roster and seeing who should stay or who should go. You know, we're not the be all the end all, but we're gonna give our best shot at it. You know, so I mean, Evan, how are you feeling today, man?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I just squeezed myself into the smallest parking spot in all of Philadelphia. So I have a little bit of pride going on right now. I'm feeling pretty accomplished after I pulled that one off. But while we're on the topic of Eagles wide receivers, obviously we were all head over heels when we got Devontae Smith last year. You know, there was a lot of huge names in the top of the draft wide receiver wise last year. And we ended up getting one of those guys. I couldn't be happier that Devontae Smith is an Eagle. However, once you get behind him in the depth chart, it starts to get pretty bleak. And if we're talking about building a roster that Jalen Hurts can compete with, this isn't going to do it. You know, it's a bunch of youth on here. I think this can be fixed somewhat in free agency, but ultimately I think the real goal for me is a big name in free agency and potentially, you know, drafting a wide receiver somewhere in the draft. I mean, if we end up picking with all three picks, I wouldn't mind in the first round. I wouldn't mind if we took a wide receiver in the first round. But other than that, I think that's more of a day two type pick.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. We're on a subject that I'm really looking forward to talking about, wide receivers. I mean, I'm looking at this list as well. It's definitely time for some change after seeing the tremendous games during the playoffs and in that Super Bowl. And we, in order for us to go ahead and compete at that level, we got to go ahead and make some serious changes. So, you know, I agree. This wide receiver lineup that we got right now is not going to do it for us. Looking at this free agency list, a couple stars in there could definitely come in here and get us to that level. I'm excited to go through this list, and, you know, I got some favorites here that I'm going to go ahead and definitely talk about later on.
I mean, a lot of people are going to have their favorites via free agency. A lot of people are going to have their favorites via the draft. So we'll talk about a couple prospects, break them down. But overall, it's stay or go, breaking down the wide receiver group. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I mean, like, obviously, you know, there's a guy who's near and dear to our wide receiver one right now. I think Devontae Smith has earned that right. I mean, he could be a 1B with a veteran 1A coming in here. That would be nice. You know, Devontae talked about having that veteran wide receiver presence across the way from him. I think he was speaking with Jonathan Clark on that one. John Clark. So I feel like just having a guy that he could depend on, you know, would be awesome. But, you know, overall, his game, you know, he stepped up throughout the season, almost hit 1,000 yards. We haven't had a 1,000 wide receiver in a long time. Who was it? Macklin
was the last one on his prove it deal, no less. We gave him a prove it deal. He proved it and then we let him walk.
I mean, overall, Devontae Smith, he's a guy who's been a, I'd say, consistent weapon. I think we all know that he can give us a little bit more. I don't think that has anything to do with his play. I think if the QB play steps up a little bit more, I think, you know, Devontae Smith has a bigger season, a more successful season. But overall, I just thought in year one, Devontae Smith showed up exactly like we said he was going to. You guys agree?
I would 100% agree. And when you consider the fact that, like, what was the biggest knock on Devontae Smith before he got drafted? It was his size. Everyone was worried that this guy isn't big enough to play in the NFL, to take hits like that. He's to play every game. He stayed healthy. Devontae Smith was able to contribute all year long. And like you said, Gail, like, he obviously was the number one receiving weapon that we have, maybe aside from Dallas Goedert. But once you start to put pieces around him, he becomes that much more open. If you have some legitimate targets that are on the opposite side of the field as him, Devontae Smith's numbers and volume goes up when you have to respect the other side of the field. So I think that the sky's the limit, honestly. I don't see why, if we pull in a legitimate wide receiver too, why Devontae Smith doesn't easily clear 1,000 yards next year.
Yeah, I'm guilty when it comes to, you know, the statement about the size for Devontae Smith. I was definitely one that was worried about that when we drafted him, even though that was my go-to guy in the draft in the very beginning. But, you know, I honestly was just – that was just one of my biggest fears. But the kid proved me wrong, proved a bunch of us wrong week in, week out. And then as the weeks went on and every game, you know, I mean, especially with all the games that we attended and then the away games that we went to go see this kid, I just felt like his progression was just getting better and better every week. The leadership was also just like – you know, just coming along as the weeks went by, because it was just like he was hungry. He was pushing. He wanted that ball like every time. And he started showing like different attitudes, like, you know, I want to be that guy, you know what I mean? Or get me the ball a little bit more. Let me show what I could go ahead and do. And that's the stuff that we love. That's the leadership we want. And, you know, you surround him with some more weapons this upcoming year. You know, yeah, Evan, I'm with you, man. It could definitely be a different outcome. So I'm hoping that they could go ahead and definitely focus on getting him that help he needs.
Who do you guys think is the last wide receiver we've had that was as technically sound as Devontae Smith?
Technically as a route runner?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I'm hard pressed to think of a name, to be honest with you.
I mean, you see, even you think of Jason Avant, a guy who wasn't the fastest guy, but who could get open and get separation.
And underrated hands, dude. Like, that dude had fucking
hands. Oh, yeah.
Hands.
He was doing Odell before Odell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I just want to shout everyone that was up in the chat, by the way. Shout out to Brian, Paul, Mark.
Moira.
We got Jerome in the house. Rome in the house. Alex, the mastermind chef. Shout out to Paul, who just moved to New York, Brooklyn. Shout out to Paul.
Congratulations.
And Terry's in the building. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I felt like moving along, you know, we all know Devontae is a guy that's going to stay and flourish. And that, I'm with it. You know, I'm just excited to see the progression as we get another guy opposite of him. And we'll get more into that. We're going to go through the guys that we have in the on the depth chart as we speak. A guy, Quez Watkins. Quez Watkins, you're talking about a guy who drafted on day three, but came in and really just made his presence felt. You talk about a guy who stretch the field. Talk about his relationship with Jalen Hurts. That relationship grew throughout the season. We saw that in off season, during training camp, during practices that we attended. He just continued to make plays. He's a guy that really stepped up and made his presence felt. You're talking about, you know, Jalen Reagor was a guy that you were expecting for him to flash, but Quez Watkins kind of took that thunder, and he was a consistent playmaker. While everyone might say Quez Watkins is not your ideal wide receiver too, right now he is that for our group in a sense. What have you got? What did you guys make of Quez Watkins' season this year?
It certainly impressed me. His overall how much he developed was definitely something that was eye opening to me. I mean, you look at both him and John Hightower going day three in the same draft, and you really look at it and you think, like, if either one of these guys can come out and contribute, that's a win. If I feel like they just kind of took a chance on two wide receivers, and if either one ended up working on day three, then, you know, it worked. And honestly, in Quez Watkins, we got a deep threat. This guy is capable of those big bomb throws. He's got the speed. But the thing is, it's just, it almost feels like, and I don't even want to insult him in saying this, but it feels like DeSean Jackson light. He's obviously not DeSean Jackson. That's not what I'm saying by any means, but he's like the home run hitter. He can hit the home runs. He can have a huge play, but other than that, I mean, he's really not a short yardage, high volume wide receiver. Really all he is a heavy hitter. So, if he can get open downfield and bust open a big play, obviously that's huge for momentum. That's huge for the offense. But he's not a guy that you can lean on all game long like you can volume-wise with Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Quez is definitely a keeper in my book. You know, he proved himself on the all season and then going into the season. I mean, I wish we would have definitely got a whole lot more plays to him. It was good seeing this guy, you know, make the plays that he did, go up for the ball the way he did, you know, and the efforts he was making every week was just something that, you know, we were wanting from other receivers. He pretty much proved to the organization, hey, listen, you know what I mean? You guys signed me for a reason and let me do my thing. And he did it. So he's definitely one that I would definitely keep on the roster and build off of.
Mm-hmm. Build off of another guy in the nest that I'm not sure a lot of people want to build off what he's been putting down over the last couple of years. Obviously, you know, his career hasn't gone like he had hoped it to be. I saw there was an interview with Justin Jefferson just talking about, like, the fact that he'll always be compared to, he's like, it's a tough scene out here. In that tough scene, talk about Jalen Reagor, over the, you know, the season, whether it was mental, or, you know, just not performing up to task, you know, just the consistency that we love to see, the level of consistency we would like to see from a first round wide receiver. That's where you're at. You're like, you know, like whether it's him stepping out of bounds, not having his feet in play, dropping a ball against the Giants, you know, or fumbling a ball in the playoffs. Definitely heartbreaking moments out there. But besides the on the field stuff, the off the field stuff with the social media, you know, the front office being not so happy with some of the things, his father and a lot of people's DMs. I get it. I know that's your son out here getting killed in social media. You stick up your son. I would do the same thing if that was my son. But
look how it worked out for Odell Beckham.
Hey, at the end of the day, you know. We talk about Devontae Smith. We talk about Quez Watkins. We can do a firm stay with Reagor. It's like, you know, for me, it's like change of scenery. Firm. Yeah, change of scenery. Yeah. Like, I just feel like it's just like sometimes things don't work out and you have to move forward. And I feel like with the stuff that we're kind of seeing out there and hearing that, I believe the Eagles are shopping him and trying to figure out what they could do with that situation. Ev, I mean, how you feeling about Mr. Reagor?
I'm disappointed, if I'm being real. I mean, Jalen Reagor is a guy, we got him in the first round. I can take you back to the day that we drafted him. I remember waking up that day, and it was almost like I had like an intuition. I tweeted first thing in the morning as soon as I woke up. I was like, today's the day we draft Jalen Reagor. I just knew he was the pick that day. And I was excited for it. I thought that, you know, you just look at his college career. He had a really, really poor quarterback. And he was still able to make outrageous plays. He was, you know, his catch radius seemed insane. He had these off the charts type of, you know, verticals and speed. But ultimately, when it all comes down together, like when you put the player together, the mental aspect is a part of that. And if that is broken, then the whole player is going to be broken. And that's what I saw in Jalen Reagor, unfortunately. I agree. I think that he is a player that possesses the necessary skills. I just think his mind's all fogged up. I think what would be best for him is a change of scenery. I would wish him the best, but I don't think he's going to be able to cut it here. I think that he's unfortunately dug his hole a little bit too deep. He's kind of, and today was, I'm sorry, not today. This year was a bad year to be going at the fans. You know what I mean? With the whole Ben Simmons thing that went on this year, it would just put bad taste in everybody's mouth. Just any players that were coming back at the fans. And, you know, that I had a little bit of that in my mouth as well. So, Jalen Reagor, I wish you the best, but I think you're as good as gone, man.
I'm trying to be nice. I'm really trying to think about how to go upon commenting on this one. But all right, you know what? I'm just going to be me. Cut this piece of shit. All right, he sucks. He's worthless. He's a disappointment. I was never about Reagor. I was always about Jefferson from the get-go. I didn't expect this man to come in here and be a Jefferson because he's not a Jefferson. All right, Jefferson is Jefferson. Reagor is Reagor. I was getting, you know, people were trying to motivate me to go ahead and get encouraged that this was a good, you know, choice when it came to picking him. And I went and I looked at videos and I tried my hardest. I really did. And I was all on board because, you know what I mean, if you're on my squad, I'm going to go ahead and rep you and I'm going to support you as best as I can. But I put too much effort into trying my hardest on being on this guy's, you know, on his side. And I just couldn't do it, man. And this year, pretty much just like I have to jump ship. Like, he's got to go. He's got to definitely go to a different team, or, you know, it's got to be a brand new start for him. It's just not working out for him here. You know, I definitely don't wish no bad upon anybody. No, I know the mental health is a serious situation, especially this past year. But he, at the same time, brought a lot of that onto himself because he didn't know how to stay off of social media. You know what I mean? He still had that kid mentality. Like, stop worrying about that. I mean, dude, you did everything in your power to go ahead and get in the NFL. You're there. You need to think better. You know what I mean? Especially, it's kind of like being professional. You got to be a professional. And he still hasn't to this day found a way to do that. I mean, his dad had to come in a lot of times to go ahead and pretty much come to his defense and all that shit. Like, all that shit was just unnecessary. He brought that shit upon himself. But at the end of the day, I want him gone. I'm tired. I'm done. You know what I mean? I'm cleaning my hands with this dude. So, peace.
I think go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that there really needs to be I think that this is a relatively new issue, because I mean, if we're looking in the grand scheme of things, social media is new. It's new and involved in all these players having it. I really think that we need to like, I remember when we got Kayvon Wallace. I feel like Kayvon Wallace and Jalen Reagor almost have a very similar presence on Twitter, where I got so hyped up just because I was like, man, this guy's a dog. He seems like he's going to put in all the work and all that. But all it was words, man. People can be persuasive. I mean, the best thing an athlete in Philadelphia that's catching heat can do is go out there on the field and prove us wrong. That's the best thing you could do, is go out on the field and prove us wrong. You stay quiet on social media. What we say doesn't matter. We're not pro athletes. All we are is nobodies. If you go out there and ball out on the field, then we're going to have nothing but positive things to say about you. But when your only focus is to defend yourself verbally online, that's not going to work. I mean, there has to be a physical element to that of you showing up.
And I was one that was truly in the building every week to give him that opportunity to prove me wrong.
And it just kept getting worse.
Yeah, that's I didn't give a shit about Eric, like, how to prove me wrong. Yeah. And especially when I got Gail right next to me. And I'm looking at Gail and I'm telling him, like, look, I'm here.
Wide receiver apologist.
Four quarters to give this kid the opportunity to prove me wrong. And one simple play, of course, I got to look at Gale. Gale's like, huh, no, that one play was not good enough for me, man. You got it. Like, he couldn't even give me a whole goddamn game. You know,
no, I mean? Like, for what we had in Philadelphia was like a weird, like, we just started booing players for the first time just by saying people's name. That was a first for me. I haven't seen that ever since I've been going to Eagles games. That's the first time I've seen.
I wasn't surprised by it, though. I mean, if you just look at how this year played out, like, that was a guy that we can, like, Coach Sirianni tried consistently, like, all right, you know what? Had a shit week last week. This week, we're going to try and focus on getting him the ball, getting his confidence up every time, dude. It was a dropped pass. It was a muffed punt. It was every single game they gave him an opportunity. He
look
messed
at, look,
up, bro.
Look at New York.
It's just, it is what it is.
Look at that New York game. I mean, you dropped a touchdown pass that would have won us the game. And then what did they do? The very next play, they gave it right back to you to prove yourself, to show you, like, dude, you got this. We could, and you fucked that up again. I'm done.
My thing is, like, you know, there's this part where when you know, you talk about becoming a pro, it take your game to the next level. It's like, you got to be a pro about things, whether it's mental, whether it's being on the field, it's about short-term memory. And that was a perfect example of short-term memory. But going out and making a play and your quarterback giving you the opportunity to flourish even after you had messed up. So, I mean, overall, I mean, you know, the Paul's comment right here, we keep these bad picks for years, how he keeps the mistakes for years. My thing is, like, if you know what a guy is worth, what he brings to the table. And then if you double down on that, bringing some of these guys back year after year after year, like Mac Hollins, guys like that, where you're like, you know, what is your role in our offense versus us upgrading the position? That's the thing with me. It's like J-Jaw, you know, we're getting to J-Jaw, but as we move down the line up here, John Hightower, you know, he's a guy that came in, flashed that separation, you know, was getting that yards. You like what he brought to the table. You know, it looked like he was going to be a guy who was going to be some guy, you know, a person that could contribute. You know, we heard on the back end, like some people were saying that it was a maturity thing. And yeah, what I heard was like very shocking to me, but where it came from, I was like, okay, wow. All right. Was that why he's not getting this opportunity? But you think, you know, the average yards per separation per route run, he was a guy that was it was up there. So I felt like Hightower, you know, them giving him another opportunity to succeed. It was on the practice squad, but now, like, he's still on the roster. You know, do they believe he could be that guy? That'll be interesting. And we just talked about being a pro and taking your game to the next level. Do you guys believe that John Hightower can take his game to the next level?
I think that he can, but it's more of just like a I don't know what he really is type of thing, because after his rookie season, I talked about him and Quez getting drafted in the first year in the same year. After his rookie season, I didn't think of either him or Quez what had a leg up on the other. I think that they had a pretty similar rookie season. And then Quez, he just took a huge next step that following year. John Hightower, like, he was a guy that showed promise. And then I feel like he just got lost in the mix this year. And that's why I'm really confused as to, like, you look at, we're going down a list of people that, like, after Quez Watkins and Devontae Smith, like, it really starts to get pretty irrelevant. And the fact that you weren't able to get yourself in the mix in a wide receiver core that looks like this is concerning. I saw the speed that he brings to the table. But, you know, I kind of, in hindsight, am not a huge fan of that drafting, mindset that we had a few years ago where all we were going for was speed. Now we're lacking a big body wide receiver. That's what we lack. We thought we were going to get that in J-Jaw, but, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, Hightower pretty much just went ghost on me. He was somebody that was all in last year. I think we were having the same conversation during free agency, and I was all about bringing John Hightower back, giving him that opportunity. And yeah, he was kind of like where Quez Watkins is at right now. I mean, it first started out like he was hungry. He wanted to go in there and show the organization that they made the right decision by drafting him. And then I don't even remember speaking of this kid at all this past season, besides that one big play we saw that he was wide open and he dropped the pass. But other than that, I can't recall anything from Hightower. I'm going to be honest with you. At one point, I even thought he wasn't even on the squad anymore.
Well, but he'll be on the squad next year, didn't they? They already
reserved him.
Yeah. His team option.
Yeah, they reserved him.
Now the next guy, obviously, for those people that are coming in, we are going to start looking at some of the free agents out there, are going to talk about some of the wide receiver prospects in the draft. But right now we are going through the depth chart over here. Next up on the list, a guy that we met his family at the Washington game as we sat outside the stadium. Very nice family, had a great moment. We did get to see that intimate moment where between, family,
mom and son,
it was a cool moment to see.
It was a moment. It definitely was a moment.
It's a cool moment. Cool moment to see. But as we speak that, stay or go, J-Jaw. I mean, a guy who had never felt right when the pick was made in the second round. I thought it was way, way too high. A guy who led the nation in contested catches, had 19 catches leading the nation. That was pretty cool. But the fact that he just never really, like, you talk about that drop against the Lions. You talk about, how he flashed in that preseason game against the Ravens. I was like, all right, I'm seeing some promise here. But, that drop against the Lions and, he did have one solid catch, I guess, against the Giants on that when we were trying to make a push for the playoffs where he came up with a nice play and it was like, all right, but overall, just again, with all that being said, a second round pick when guys were like, especially, I guess, we're always going to have those guys that we mentioned, the Metcalfs of the world, the Justin Jeffersons of the world. You can keep on going, but every time you miss, there's going to be a player that you keep on going. I just feel like it's like, again, what, going back to Paul's statement about keeping guys longer than you have to, like, and who made these selections after you start wondering like who's selecting these wide receivers, like the fact that y'all can fit, you can make, the fact that you can find linemen outside the first round, second round, seventh round, fifth round, Mulata, you're talking about Kelsey, these are guys that are day three guys.
Think about what you're saying. Jeff Stoutland is the catalyst.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, who's picking these wide receivers? And then I heard rumors of, like, Lurie's son was behind this pick, or, Lurie was behind this pick. So, overall, I know we interviewed Brandon Hunt. He was a scouting coordinator from the Steelers. And I always go back to that because I'm like, hey, man, they're going to bring him in. They're going to teach us how to draft wide receivers. That was a lot being said. J-Jaw, there we go, Evan.
I think it's pretty simple. I mean, I would really challenge anybody, especially anyone inside the Eagles organization, to give me a pitch as to why he should stay on the team. I want to hear the honest pitch as to why J-Jaw has earned a spot on the roster going forward. Because last year they tried to sell us the bullshit of, well, he's so valuable as a blocker. Okay. It's like, there's a bunch of guys, tight ends block. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all he is a tight end that can't catch. That's all he is. And so he blocks worse than a tight end because he's a wide receiver and he can't catch. So what, he doesn't bring any value. If I'm being real, like, I'm not even trying to be harsh on J-Jaw. You mentioned how we had this intimate moment with his family and all that. But if I'm keeping it a buck, I think this is his last NFL contract.
No.
This is it. Yeah.
I think
who signs it? What, like, who is looking around the league and is like, let's try it.
If you talk about practice squad, someone will take a chance on it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the Lions or somebody taking over. So I don't know.
I don't see it.
I mean, he never got started. Like, he kept it in first gear and he's been stuck in first gear ever since, man.
Stuck in park, maybe.
I was just being too nice. But besides the moment with your family, man, shout out to the moms and to the rest of the family that was there. That was definitely a moment. But other than that, keeping it 100, dude, you got to go too. Like, I mean, if you got to be the one that holds Rager's baggage wise, you guys both walk out. Hey, so be it. But
he's
already
got his handful with an umbrella, bro.
Well, hook that shit to your belt or something. I don't know, man. But like, we put a lot of effort into waiting for you to come around and do something, and that day just never came. And I mean, I don't know. It's scary to even think you might be right, Evan, that could be his one and only contract that he's ever going to get.
Don't, like, I hear what you're saying, that like a practice squad. I mean, how many, if you think about, there's probably a little bit over 160 wide receiver positions that are in the NFL when it's all said and done. Is he a top 160 wide receiver in the league? I don't know.
My only theory is like, go ahead, gain more weight and put your ass at tight end.
Well, I mean, yeah, they pitched the part about him blocking, but I mean,
I said, bro, make him a tight end. Like,
if they can turn Tebow into a tight end,
if they can turn Jordan Matthews into a tight end, you know, that could be your next best option. But
that should be really telling. Like, if they're just trying to move you around in a position to try and force you to make you work, maybe it's possible that you're just not a good football player. That could also just be the thing.
It's tough, man. Tough. It's a tough scene out here. Tough crowd. Tough crowd. Philadelphia, tough crowd. Tough crowd. I mean, it's a tough crowd. It is what it is. Yeah. But moving forward, a guy who we're all high on, like, I think I'm projecting here, but I think we're all high on him as a, you know, a versatility guy, a utility guy, a guy who's worked his way off the practice squad to come up and play some really good snaps. You talk about leading the team in first down catches just only a year ago. Talking about a guy who can be your backup quarterback if you need him. A guy who can be your backup punt returner. Just talking about a depth guy. And that guy is Greg Ward Jr. Obviously, he's a restricted free agent. But I feel like Greg Ward, he's been, I'd say, the definition of consistency for a depth piece. Like, he's been consistent when you call upon his name. He still will make plays. Talk about that Washington game that we're all – the game that you guys missed. I don't – to this day, I still wish you guys were there. But, I mean, talk about a guy who's just – come up and made plays when, again, made his way off the practice squad and impressed and worked. So, but at the end of the day, as much as I have stand for Greg Ward, I think me and Evan had spoke about Greg Ward. I just feel like it's, you know, if we're going to make changes to this group, it's time to like rehaul the group. And that has nothing to do with Greg Ward Jr.'s play. It's just a matter of like, all right, let's rehaul this group.
I actually think I have a really good comparison for Greg Ward for all of the for all my Sixers fans out there. You know who Greg Ward is? He's TJ McConnell. That's who Greg Ward really feels like to me. He's a guy that he was a good contributor. Like, look at when Greg Ward stepped up to the plate. He stepped up to the plate when we had absolutely no wide receivers whatsoever. Everybody talks about the year that Greg Ward came in and he led the team in receiving yards, even though he started the year as a practice squad player. And that was this big deal. I mean, you look at TJ McConnell, he was like this decent player during the process. That's kind of how I view it. We were in the middle of the process as the Eagles and in our growing pains. And we had this player that stepped up and he contributed, but ultimately he's not gonna be the guy when we reach the pinnacle of our team. So Greg Ward, I agree with you. I think that ultimately we know what Greg Ward is at this point in his career. I think he is a wide receiver 4 or 5 on an NFL team. I think you can rely. I think he has reliable hands, but ultimately he's not gonna have big flashy plays. He's gonna be reliable. He'll get you, you know, 300 yards, 450 yards a year. But it's not going to be a guy that is going to be your top wide receiver. I think that, you know, you say thank you to Greg Ward for what he's done, and you wish him the best. But ultimately, you bring in another younger guy with a potentially higher ceiling.
The key word was reliable. The fact that I'm going to go ahead and pity pack off of that, because Greg Ward is that when things don't go right, or, you know, when you're in such a drought, no pun intended, but you fall back on that booty call. That's that booty call, man. That's what Greg Ward is, you know, and that's just how he's been for the past few years. So I think it's time to move on from him, man. It's time to, you know, bring that fresh booty back into the squad and get rid of that guy. You know, we're past that. I mean, he's been key. He was key last year. I mean, he was tremendous last year. With the last, you know, with the situation that we were in, but you know, it's time, man. Greg Ward is, I'm over it.
He's over.
I mean, I'm not gonna even go back to your reference about who he is to you. He's that. No, I'm not gonna even go there. I'm not kidding. No,
he's talking about me.
I was like, I'm just gonna stop.
He's that fallback. Like, he's that fallback.
Like, he's that warm pillow. And I'm yeah. I mean, talk about a guy who I said to Evan, I said, hey, I said, Ev, you know, what do you think about this dude? And he's like, who? he said, who? I mean, Deion Kane.
This is the first that I'm even hearing of this guy.
Why don't you tell us about Deion Kane? Because I don't got nothing to say about him.
Is there a Wikipedia on it?
Can I phone a friend?
I mean, he's a guy. He's just a guy at this point.
He's a jack.
You know, you talk of just a jack. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about upgrading this whole group. This is why it's going to be such more of a fun podcast as we get to who we can bring in. Because, like, so naming off those guys.
If we're at Deion Cole, I think we're at the end of the list.
I think we could just jump into that right now. Could I actually skip over that?
We're not going to even go there. We're just going to, like, we need to talk about what we need to do free agent-wise. I mean, you know, obviously you can bring some draft prospects in here. Who can come and compete? You know what I mean. But mm-hmm. it's not gonna be Deion Kane. watch Mans become our like wide receiver.
He's gonna be our next Greg Ward.
So moving right along, obviously, you know. But first, we got a little announcement. We have some guy, he's got a podcast, Super Bowl champion. We have Chris Long coming on tomorrow. Chris Long is going to be stopping by the Nest. That is episode 265. That'll be at 2:30 tomorrow Eastern Standard Time. So Chris Long is going to be stopping by the Nest. If you guys want to join in the fun, come by, ask him some questions. We should have some fun with Chris Long. Pretty awesome, right?
That's awesome, man. That's hell awesome. Yeah, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Should I have led with that?
I think it came out at the right time.
Yeah, I think it's the right time.
I mean, anything.
All the real ones that are still listening, you got the leg up right now. You know when to tune in.
Shout out to Chris Malley. He, over the during the season, he went to Chris Long's event, hung out with him, struck it. You know, they struck up a great relationship. Had a good time at his event. And now he's going to come on the pod and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Cause that's Chris Long. He can do whatever
he
wants to do. So if you want to bring some questions, come by and talk to a legend, Chris Long.
And he's a dude that's always got a lot of good stuff to say too, man. I really enjoy his podcast. And, I think tomorrow's going to be a good one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But talking about, some legends that we need to bring in here. Let's see. This is PFF's top ranked wide receivers, the free agents that are on the market. The numbers on the side are their numbers as they, you know, they feel like Davante Adams is their number one overall free agent to be had. So now you can do the math here. So obviously, number
the worst one is an example. It's one on the list on the left and the right.
So just thinking, Davante Adams, everybody would love to have Davante Adams. Davante Adams would be the perfect veteran wide receiver to come across the way besides Davante. So Davante times two, That would be amazing. Like this would be the dream like scenario. Not that I even think this is happening, but right now there haven't been any contract extension talks with the Packers. So if you want to be that your dream right now scenario, it's still alive. It's still alive. But obviously we're all excited about Davante Adams, right? Group.
I'll wear my pajamas inside out and sleep with a spoon under my pillow. If that's what it takes. Whatever it takes to get Davante Adams here, man. We already know he looks good in green, man. That is the biggest home run that Howie Roseman could hit this offseason. If he lands Davante Adams, I mean, he's, in my opinion, and it's really not like just my thought, but like he's well regarded as the top wide receiver in the league currently. He's in the middle of his prime. There is no reason to not want Davante Adams on your team. He instantly makes you at least closer to a contender. We need to work on the defense, but he definitely vaults you up the power rankings.
The tagging starts what, today or tomorrow? Tagging starts soon. Do you think by any chance he gets tagged?
We'll see. Yeah.
But they could tag and trade as well too.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, Davante Adams is the perfect scenario in a perfect world. But I mean, let's not keep our hopes up for that, because I just don't see it happening. But
there's good names on that list though, man.
Absolutely, and that's why. I mean, I think. If we're going to be realistic, getting into the more of the middle of this list is where we, you can start making more possibility for us.
These guys skipping ahead over here. But the PFF's prediction for Davante Adams is him going back to Green Bay, scoring a 4-year, $93 million, $65 million guaranteed. That's the
holy guacamole.
And Jerome says someone is going to have to pay Adams QB money. As good as he is, you have to pass on him. Again, that's a dream-like scenario. We all can dream, right?
We dream.
Yep.
We'll go back to Prime's list here. Moving right along. Number two, Chris Godwin, a guy who obviously he's a local Delaware legend. I think Chris Godwin would fit right in. Obviously he dealt with an ACL tear, not quite to the very back end of the season. It was like five games before the end of the season he tore his ACL. Was that it?
I think his last game was versus the Saints, December 19th. Yep.
So, I mean, Chris Godwin, what do you guys feel about Chris Godwin?
I mean, that's another top wide receiver in the league, man. Like you, how you said right there. I mean, he is the third overall, available free agent in all of football right now. I think that's a pretty good ranking, considering I think he's an elite type player. You pair him up with Devontae Smith, big things can happen. And I think that's exactly the formula. I told you at the top of the show, I think you sign one of these names that are on this list and you draft a wide receiver on day two. We're living, baby. Godwin, bring him here.
Yeah,
God
was definitely key. I'm just a little bit worried about the fact that he got that ACL injury.
ACL,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thing that leaves me hesitant.
We went down that road before where we signed Wallace a couple years ago off of an ACL injury, and look,
broke his leg though, didn't he? Afterwards,
it was something, but it's just those type of things that I just worry about. When it comes to signing, free agents like in that position.
Right.
Now, Adam Michael says Gibbs. I went to AMG. I'm going to say AMG for now on. Three ACL tear guys on this list, unfortunately. Let's start looking at the realistic approach. We're going to take the prime approach and we're going to skip right ahead on this list. I know Evan. Evan has been gassed up and geeked up about Mike Williams. Like, we had a big body target. You talk about the guy who wins in the air, wins the 50-50 targets. He's a guy who I've always admired his game. You talk about a guy who, across the way, if you want to diversify your wide receiver group, Mike Williams is that guy.
Dude. For me, if you're looking at that list – I personally have him ranked above Chris Godwin. I would prefer Mike Williams. I know that both of them are dealing, like, you know, both injury prone, both dealing with injuries. But you just look at the upside of Mike Williams. I mean, I believe he's younger, but on top of that, just the sheer size of him, man. What is he, like 6'4"? Huge body. That's exactly the prototypical type player I want playing on the other side of Davante Adams. See, I got Freudian slip there. That's exactly the type of wide receiver I want playing opposite of Devontae Smith. If you just think about that, like, you have the burner, the technician that Devontae Smith is, and then you pair it up with a big body and Mike Williams, there's plenty of different ways we can get the ball down the field. I'm all about it, man. I would be all about Mike Williams coming in.
Yeah, looking at this list realistically, Mike Williams probably falls as the number one go-to guy to go and focus on signing. You know, Devontae, Chris Godwin, those are ones that are kind of like way out of the – not saying out of our league, but just kind of hard to go ahead and focus on, you know what I mean, especially with the big money that they're going to want. With Mike Williams, I think it's one that we could definitely focus on. And – you know, Evan broke down the stats on this guy, his height, his arm length, you know, his legs, his strength, his agility, all that stuff. So, I mean, why not? Why not go all in on Mike Williams?
And then PFF, their prediction for Mike Williams, he signs with the Chargers, 4 years, $68 million, $38 million guaranteed. So that would be some big money. Some big money. Now moving right down the list, you know, Odell Beckham obviously tears ACL, gets a Super Bowl championship with the Rams. Kind of damaged goods right now. Kind of like, you know what I mean? Getting up there in age, tears ACL. Boy still can play, but I'm just saying. Talk about ACLs here. Allen Robinson, a guy who's been talked about over and over, especially by Penn State fans that are in the Philadelphia area. Allen Robinson, I know Prime said he's not a big fan of Allen Robinson. Is that true?
That's true. I'm kind of with you, Prime. Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on him.
And like I said, Alshon Jeffrey messed that up for me. So.
I mean, but looking back on that whole Alshon Jeffrey thing, I almost feel like we owe Alshon an apology, man.
Why is that?
I mean, he was the one that kind of broke the story that Carson Wentz isn't a good teammate. And now, in hindsight, is he not? Carson's not a good teammate.
Well, okay. The man can't go and contradict himself because he became one of the worst teammates himself. All right.
Yeah. That's fair.
Now, Paul, in the middle of this wide receiver discussion, is throwing like a little curveball to the group. Outside of the money, how much of a factor is our QB for a wide receiver for choosing the Eagles as a destination? You talking about Davante Adams? That's the Davante Adams is looking for a quarterback. Could that be his former teammate who plays for the Raiders? Is it following Aaron Rodgers wherever the hell Aaron Rodgers goes, or whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers is on right now? Because that dude is just.
Dude, he's
all over the place.
That it was weird as hell.
He's all over the place. So
the man's got the ball in his control, bro.
Yo, yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is so good that he's from a off the field perspective. It's been all over the charts.
Dude. He's playing that Jeopardy role right now with the NFL. Choose your category. Name your amount.
Andy was on Jeopardy. Like the levels of like,
what are you wagering
here? He's here, like making, you know, some controversial statements about the vaccine. What are his family not talking to him?
Is it me or did all of this all come out of nowhere? Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for like 15 years. I feel like he just started being controversial. I didn't hear anything controversial about Aaron Rodgers like the first 13 years of his career. And now all of a sudden, like, he's enemy number one.
I go back to his appearance on Jeopardy, man. He just has that mentality. Let me find some categories to go ahead and talk about this season, right? Let's talk about the feet. We talk about the pandemic. We talk about my hair being long. We'll talk about these whack ass suits I wear to these award ceremonies. You know, shit like he's got categories like crazy.
He looked like the dude, the villain on Red Dead Redemption or some shit. Like you had to go from. I was like, bro, what is this? What is this? And then he had the weird man bun, and then his Hollywood wife calls off the wedding. Like a lot of stuff going on with Aaron Rodgers. So, with all that being said, We don't know where Devonta Smith is going to land. But
Devontae Adams.
Devonta Adams is going to land. If that's going to be, I mean, that is, it's an interesting factor. We could talk about
I know that there's a lot of people that are talking about too, that they think that Aaron Rodgers and Devonta Adams are some sort of package deal. Like, no matter where Aaron's playing next year, Devonta's, like, logistically, how does that even work? Like, how do you really think that, like, you heard what Devonta Adams is looking for in his contract, and then what, Aaron Rodgers is going to want pennies on the dollar? Who has the money for both of them? That's just not a realistic possibility in my mind. I don't know. Maybe I get surprised.
Moving right along this list over here. You know, if we're going to get realistic here, you know,
I like
obviously
that one.
Michael Gallup, ex-Cowboy.
Don't me. That dude has torn us up for years. I would be about it, man. You don't want Michael Gallup just because he's a Cowboy?
I'm just saying.
Cowboys energy,
energy vibes. Like, do I really want another Cowboy in here?
Nope.
I know he got. He also got injured too. So, okay.
Yeah, he did. He did. But I feel. Okay. I feel like
and he ran into a fence.
Now
I wanted more than number seven on that list.
Antonio Brown is a like, how many Eagle fans have asked for Antonio Brown?
Yeah,
over the years.
I mean, going all the way back to when we were in the Wells Fargo Center. I remember that, and we were having this same type of conversation. Like, yeah, I don't know. You know, he kind of messes up a locker room. And for anybody that doesn't think that he does that, I mean, I would just look at his last NFL game he played in.
That's a way to go off, though.
I guess.
Hey, if that's going to be your last game.
You're going to go out that way.
And now he's hanging with Kanye at the Super Bowl. I think he's staying on par for weirdest fucking craziness off season.
Yeah, he became the president of his fan club, something like that.
All right. Man, I'm telling you. I don't know. Paul, shout out to Paul from London Town. Gallup and Brown is a hell no. Mark says, don't need the AB circus in Philly. Big Blue Mini says, we've been burned by so many former Cowboys. Shout out to Mr. Austin. And also,
I feel like you got to treat these like a case-by-case basis, though. Like, just because DeMarco Murray didn't work out here doesn't mean that Michael Gallup.
Oh, how many people don't want to draft the USC wide receiver?
Wait. You just stopped at DeMarco Murray. We had DeMarco Murray. We had Scantling.
Herschel Walker was good.
Austin. Oh, man, I don't even consider him. Herschel Walker was the man. Who else?
Was the man.
You just mentioned one. I mean, I got three, four that I could think of.
Like with Orlando Scandrick, that was just like his career was over at that point. You know what I mean? like we brought in DeMarco Murray while he had his prime going on, and I honestly think DeMarco Murray would have been better had it not been Chip Kelly here calling the shots.
True that.
I think DeMarco Murray could have had a better season.
And he showed that in the last game of the season. Like, look, you know what I mean? I could be that straight go-to running back instead of this east to west shit.
Now, with all that being said with this list, you know, it was fun. We had a little fun mental exercise. Correct? Right?
I had fun.
Yeah, you had fun? I mean, this is the more realistic part of the list. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that has been rumored. If you've been listening to us for a little bit, and that's stuff that we have heard. And then Christian Kirk is another guy who's the Eagles were trying to get their hands on him during this season. They're trying to, obviously, we all saw tight end number one, Zach Ertz, move to the Arizona Cardinals. I know that they were trying some way to get Christian Kirk out of that deal. And here we are, you know, Christian Kirk. And Juju Smith-Schuster, two guys who've been over the year have been linked to the Eagles, perhaps. But I heard Juju could be a realistic thing. You talk about a veteran guy across the way from Devontae Smith who can win in the slot. And then that would be interesting. I mean, how are you guys feeling about I mean, we could talk about all three of them together, or a lot of, because we'll hear a lot of DJ Chark and a lot of Juju. So,
well, I mean, I was kind of going to bring up the third guy. I mean, if we're deciding between those three guys, and it kind of contradicts what I was saying about wanting a big body wide receiver. I just love Christian Kirk as like a deep threat. Christian Kirk is like another player. I think he's like a better Quez Watkins, really. And I really love the production I saw out of him this past year. And between him, Juju, and Chark, I would personally want Christian Kirk over either of those two.
The best scenario that I could think of that we could go with is one, your boy, Mike Williams. I like Christian Kirk. And then there's one that is not on this list that Gail was showing, but there's one that I talked about before we hopped on the show.
Moritz Boringer.
Braxton Berrios from the New York Jets is an unrestricted free agent. I love this dude. Not only does he represent the U, all right, but I mean, the man can play his ass off. And we saw it in New York when we went to the Jets game. I'm a big fan of his. I think that would be a steal. You bring that kid onto this squad. You sign those three in the offseason along with Devontae Smith, and let's just say we hold on to Quez Watkins. You got Hightower as a reserve. I think we're in a way better direction than where we're at right now.
So you're thinking that's your upgrade to Greg Ward, guy who could play punt returner, special hell teams, yeah, and be a now shout out to Carmen. He's talking about Calvin Ridley, obviously, but he'd have to be traded.
He would have to be traded.
That'd be a trade scenario.
Yeah,
we've got pieces that we can unload though too.
Yeah, I mean, cut me open. I mean, that's kind of like again DJ Chark. A guy who could stretch the field and Kirk as well. I mean, that would these are guys that would make a little bit more sense if you're not going, you're not hitting the home run with Devontae Adams. But
let me ask you guys and the chat, like just looking at this list right here, give me your top three. Let's leave. I mean, everybody's number one is going to be Devontae Adams. So let's just eliminate Devontae Adams. Who is your top three choices that you would want from this list in order?
Like, I would love Chris Godwin in terms of, like, determining how healthy he is. But, like, you're talking about guys that can be playmakers, and he's consistently shown in his young career. Obviously, he's injured, but that would be nice. Like, I'm not mad at that. The Mike Williams love is a real for me. You talk about the big body target. That's, you know, Allen Robinson, like, his seasons, you know, he's dealt with injuries, and obviously he wouldn't be the most exciting signing of this group. You know, I take it because it's better than any of these guys are better than anything that we have here. Obviously, OBJ, I love it. If he wasn't injured, talk about like spicing up the group. I think the whole Juju thing, you know, it's outside the overall perspective. People don't, you know, really like if you want to get a guy who can work and win in the slot, you know, a guy who can get separation, and that's what you kind of like. Who's the guy that's going to come in here and be a favorite weapon for your QB, and not cost you a lot of money?
Right. Yeah. If I'm looking at it, I mean, obviously, my number one I've been talking about is Mike Williams. I think he is the perfect fit if he can stay healthy, to line up on the other side of the field. Just as far as diversity in our wide receiving core. So Mike Williams, and then I'm telling you, I love Gallup, man. Like there's one thing that that's one of those players that I fear every time we go up against the Cowboys, because I know he has a history of tearing us up. He does it all the time, and to get him off the Cowboys and keep him from doing that, and B, have him do that for us, I think would be very, very valuable. And I think the price could be right. And same sort of story for Christian Kirk. He's not exactly that big body. He's kind of small, but he can stretch the field. And I think he would be a step up from Quez Watkins. And I think, you know, we add him into the mix, definitely improves things.
Mike Williams, Juju, Christian Kirk, those are my three off that list. Those are the ones that I would definitely target.
Well, you know, shout out to Jay. We got our.
These bitches love Sosa.
I love when we get comments from different platforms, because we hardly ever get people from Twitch. But shout out to Jay. One of the first Twitch comments ever. A little tear running down my eye. Now, Blue Beanie says, what's the date for the free agency to open? That is March 16th, 4 p.m. Eastern. Set your clocks. Tell your whole family. Let's get ready for that. I mean, I think, like,
when
again,
does the tampering window open up?
They're tampering already, dude. Those guys have been trying to get quarterbacks, been trying to get players at the Pro Bowl. You know, Darius Slay has been working overtime. That's one guy always working overtime.
Yeah.
You know, so just thinking about, you know, we just went through the free agency list. Obviously, we're not going to go super in depth on like wide receivers in the draft, but we're going to bring up some names to, you know, because we're hitting that mark. We either talk about food or go off the rails.
We've only got about a minute to get some wide receiver names in here.
So you talk about Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, a guy who's been super explosive. This list could be, you know, this list right here is according to The Athletic. Jameson Williams, the guy who went from Ohio State to Alabama and had a bet on himself, had a phenomenal season. That would be amazing. You talk about a guy who's definitely a deep threat. ACL tear, not good for his stock, but, you know, obviously still a first round talent. Treylon Burks from Arkansas, big body target. You're talking about a guy who can come in here, be that guy opposite. Like, if, you know, we see the Mike Williams love from Evan over here, but you're talking about a guy who also playing the slot. Chris Olave from Ohio State, little route guy, junior, very reliable target for Ohio State. Olave and Garrett Wilson are the reason why Jameson Williams had to transfer. Now you talk about Drake London, big body target, 6'5", 212. Led the nation in contested catches with 19. Jahan Dotson, vertical threat, three-level threat, home run hitter. A lot of people love him. Obviously, Penn State people everywhere in Philadelphia. Talk about David Bell, another guy who's he's not the flashiest, but he's a guy who shows up, make plays. You know, looking past that, those are your guys that are on day two who can be people that we could target in later rounds, second to third round range. Obviously, Alex Pierce is another guy. There's some big, Justin Ross.
I noticed a name that's not on here that we've talked about.
Christian Watson, would that be it?
That would be it.
Yeah. Christian Watson is another guy.
You know how I like my big bodies, bro.
North Dakota State, a guy who showed out at the Senior Bowl. So, obviously, people are excited about his game. Christian Watson, huge fan of Chris Malley, a huge fan of Watson's game. So, from that list,
do you think he's a day two or three guy?
His stock has probably moved into the back end of day two. I mean, obviously, you'd love to get him day three, but I think from what he did, he couldn't be covered. He really did put in work down on the Senior Bowl,
and we got clearance for the combine as well. That's big news.
What's that? Oh, it's happening.
Combine's going on. Yeah.
We're hoping to get Tony Pauline. Podcast Network reached out and said they're looking at, hey, if you'd like to interview Tony Pauline, if you guys don't know who Tony Pauline does work with the Eagles, does a lot of work in the scouting community. We're looking to get Tony Pauline on the podcast. He's a guy that he's helping us preview the combine so we're trying to schedule that interview. He's a guy. He's pretty awesome. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm right there with you, John.
Hey,
it's something about those SC wide receivers that just make me nervous, bro.
Oh, see, you talk about this is what we just talked about. You know,
no, it's a mental thing. I realize that Drake London isn't the wide receivers that's come out of SC in past, but it's those SC wide receivers that make me nervous.
But you know, you talk about a big body target, man.
Totally. I mean, 6'5", that's huge.
Let's see. Adam says, Gail, what's the Texas wide receiver, Eric Azukumana? Something with good size. I think, Adam, Michael Gibbs says, Jalen Tolbert, definitely surprise the folks down there. Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, a guy that I was watching down there. He's a guy that, again, big body target, got some speed too. You know, I like it. I mean, overall, it's just it's a matter of like bringing guys in here that have upside and, you know, ability, that the kind of ability we don't have in this room. Mm-hmm. We're talking about consistency. We're talking about hands. We're talking about across the way. Pretty much just hanging out in the back. But overall, I mean, some from the, have you guys, you know, not everybody's dug into the wide receivers yet. Have you guys found any wide receivers in the top first that you like?
Yeah, Traylon Burks is one of those names that, like, I keep coming back to. I mean, you just look at the size and the production he's at. Olave as well. I really like Olave. I remember there being a lot of hype about him last year as well, and he was deciding on whether or not to come out into the draft. And, yeah, he seems like he's remained at the top of that list, and I think either one of those guys I'd be happy with. Yeah, like Garrett, I said, though, those SC wide receivers, they gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Wilson's the only person that I've been watching tape on. I haven't really caught up with any of the other guys, but you know, we try to focus on that.
Yeah, Garrett's explosive, man. Garrett's super explosive, dude. Like his dad was a former NBA star. I guess believe played for the Nuggets or whatever, but a guy who's super explosive. Definitely got the finesse. You're talking about a guy across from Devontae. You're talking about, that's what I'm saying. Like if you get two guys that can get that kind of explosion separation, you're not relying on one of your wide receivers getting taken out of the game. And then here we are. Can your number two win? Can your number, you know, and then you got Juju playing the slot or whatever. Come on, man. Like one, two, three, like now we're doing something.
Now we're talking. We're
doing something. Obviously, I know, if Prime could draft Braxton Berrios, he would, you know, because I know he loves his Canes. But I mean, hey, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, there are going to be more positions that we tackle. You know, what position would you want to hit next, guys?
I mean, me and you talked before we jumped on the show. I think we need to have a conversation about that running back room, man.
Okay, I think Prime running back
to be had.
Running back's the position, man. Evan put me on to somebody that, you know, I mean, I'm keen on.
Oh, you've been looking?
Yeah,
you checking
man.
Them out? Nice,
yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah, man. Yeah, we're going to save that for the next one. We're gonna save
that for the next one. Now, before we get out of here, Brian says, I like to call Boo Mini Brian because I feel like it's Brian.
Meanie.
Hey, Brian.
Shout out to Meanie Brian. As well. You know, sorry about everything that happened this past week. I saw that with
your
friend.
Man.
That was very tragic. Yeah, prayers
to you guys.
Prayers out, man. Now, Blue Meanie says, any opinions on the USFL and the Stars coming back? The Stars just drafted Brian Scott in the first round. Let the controversy start. Like, because Evan was like, man, he's like, what do you think about the Stars? I'm like, I don't give a damn. Like,
the fact that they're called Stars, I mean, I was like, here we go.
Oh, do you see who else got drafted in the first round? Former Eagle.
Who's that?
Clayton Thorson got drafted in the first round. Congrats, Clayton. Yeah, but that's what I was saying to Gail, is that, like, we were talking about this USFL, and personally, like, if I'm going to be real with you, I think it's stupid. Like, that's me being blunt about it. Like, stupid. I think it's stupid. Like, I view it like I don't sit around and watch AA baseball. That's what it feels like to me. Like, you know what I mean? It's just minor league football. That's all it really feels like. So I guess it's good in the times where there isn't football, NFL football going on. But at the same time, it's a watered down product. It's like going to, you know, a local field and watching some pickup games going on. Like,
is that you're saying that's going to steal the thunder of the Philadelphia Soul, who are no longer around, right? Correct?
Who are no longer around. No longer around. But we're champions for quite some time.
Remember the Philadelphia Soul won that championship. And they were all paraded. And they had, like, real fans out there.
Yeah.
It started the run, man.
Like I saw, like, they were doing, like, some parade. And that wasn't a parade, but it was, like, some super fan from the Soul. And, like, dude had blackface. I was like, bro, that's not really the right, like that's, you gotta, like, did someone tell you that that's not a good look? But it was anyway, but before we get out of here, definitely want to plug Chris Long will be stopping by the Nest tomorrow, 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. Legend will be talking about the Eagles and life after football and anything you guys might want to talk about. So if you want to talk to Chris Long, maybe ask that question that's been burning in your soul like for the last couple of years. I mean, you want to ask him a question? Hopefully we can bring up some of those questions during the show, and hopefully he'll be able to answer. But shout out to the legend, Chris Long. Shout out to Chris Malley for linking up with Chris Long, man. He's a guy who's – I was starting to think about this. Besides Chris Long, who's the quickest that the fan base has fell in love with than Chris Long, a player that is
– I got a name that came to mind. Carson Wentz. When he first came here, we were in love.
No, I'm not saying like a guy that we drafted. I'm talking about
like a jokester, game. Like a you know, saying, I mean, okay, they wanted to act like us.
Like free agent that we brought in that like quickly, like the whole fan base fell.
Just based off their personality, or based off of
football or any sport,
anything that we fell in.
T.O. work,
Scott.
T.O.'s up there, yeah.
Mike Scott.
Interesting.
Feels weird having Mike Scott in a conversation with T.O. and Chris Long. Evan Mathis. That's an interesting one. Asante,
yeah. Asante was a guy that everyone fell in love with right away.
Connor Barwin was a guy that really...
This is true. John,
yeah, Connor Barwin was definitely one of those guys for sure. Still ride SEPTA. I stepped to Philly.
How about can we say Brandon Brooks?
Yeah. Or that, Brandon Brooks.
It took some time. He wasn't here. He was here too long. Because like Chris Long was here only a matter of not that long.
Yeah. Trying to think about who else.
I don't know, man. It's kind of hard.
Trying to think about defensively on that side of the ball. Malcolm Jenkins, it took a while for people to really get behind him. Slay is a good answer.
Slay.
Everybody was big on Slay.
Okay. AMG. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like AMG. That nickname too. AMG. Is that a gun on
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
Damn.
Bynum. Oh my God. I can't
think of his name. Hollis Thomas.
Okay.
All right, well, that's it. That'll have us up all night. This question, but before we Jim get out of here, Mark Cimino,
James Harden.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. He hasn't even played a snap yet.
What are the odds that this name comes up?
Dahani Jones.
Me and Gail were talking about Dahani Jones earlier today. That's wild that you threw that up there.
The guitar playing Dahani Jones. Yeah, then that's crazy. Alshon? I'll give Alshon.
Yeah. I'll give Alshon out, yeah.
He's feeling a certain way. Man helped us. Any dude that helped us win a Super Bowl. I don't care. I got one. Prime gave me out of Jersey.
Very similar to this one, Byron Maxwell. I was hyped when we got Byron Maxwell.
Never had.
Only to be quickly disappointed.
Nah, that dude killed it for the Byron Maxwell.
never hyped.
Cliff Lee's return. I was thinking about baseball.
The fact that he even brought this up just kills me.
How about Babin? Babin, people don't realize how many sacks Babin had.
Jason Babin. 20, bro.
I never forget the one game I went to, and that's when he was his bullshit. He literally was the one person that was standing by himself while the whole squad was all together. I used to see Jason Babin all the time at the gym. So yeah, he's all
right. He's like, give me a spot. No, man, get out of here. But before we get out of here, any last words, Brian, before we get out of here?
Just have safe week, man. Shout out to you guys for joining us. Other than that, just stay tuned for tomorrow's show with the legend, Chris Long. Looking forward to that. And like always, fly Eagles fly, baby.
Evan. Hey, first of all, Evan, like if you didn't see the video of Evan parking his car, this guy's a psycho. Like he doesn't care about his bumpers or anything. Go Listen, move your car.
Please go move your car.
I don't know if I can.
Please.
Dude, I've got about an inch on either side.
I'm afraid somebody's going to leave a message.
But they might. They might. But I'm still feeling pretty high about that. But yeah, I would just say tune in tomorrow. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it. So, Gail, I give you my blessing. I hope that it's a great interview tomorrow. But make sure everybody go check it out. And if I blocked you in parking, sorry.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Long for coming on tomorrow. Shout out to Chris Malley. Shout out to y'all in the chat who were blessing us with comments all show. Obviously, we're gonna probably hit the running back position next, and you guys can talk about potential free agent running backs. I don't know, you guys got something up your sleeve, perhaps? Maybe a draft prospect, maybe.
I got one in mind.
Okay,
I got one in mind.
All right. But for me and the guys, we'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.